by the power of your Spirit. Oh, Lord, we sing, and that song, just amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Help that never to get old in my heart, but God, help me to see you at work everywhere you are in my life. In Jesus' name, we give you glory and honor and praise. And all the people that agreed said,
Amen.
Amen. God's good. And I, when we went away to Myrtle Beach there a few weeks ago, we got an opportunity to be in another church in Myrtle Beach that actually had a lot of the same look and feel as we have here. But we came onto the parking lot, and there was no one there. We walked through the doors, and there was people that were put at the doors to say hi, but if you asked any questions, that was it. You just got a hi. We walked into the sanctuary. We were there a little, we had time to talk, and we hung around afterwards, went to their first impressions desk and looked around, but we really didn't have anybody connect with us or communicate with us. And I just was thinking how blessed we are in this house to have such an awesome first impressions team. How you guys are just and you're not fake, you're not putting it on. You're out there, you're real, authentic, greeting people, making people welcome. We could give our first impressions and our greeters and ushers and everybody a great hand. That'd be awesome. It matters, we're in a world that sometimes is so closed. We move from our front porch to our back decks, and we move from the back deck to the computer screen, and sometimes we forget how much we need to interact with each other and have those connections. So you that serve in that way, just thank you so much. Through the Old Testament and through God's Word completely, God talks and sets apart times and seasons to gather, to worship Him, to connect with Him, to have time in His presence. And it's one of the big reasons we do Refresh in the spring, is because it's just amazing what God could do in our life if we'll just take a few days to stop and allow God to speak to us. We were away this week at a conference for our OBFF. It's our group that we're associated with, and 3-day conference. Christine wasn't able to go with me for the whole time this time, but she came up for a day. Levi and I went up for the whole thing, and it was amazing, just even for my son. It's a pastor's conference. They're talking to pastors and church leaders, but I could just see God at work in his life as we took the time just to be together with God's people and to have that time together. I believe that if you'll take the time There's some people here that are struggling with, you know, maybe some questions in their heart. Maybe you're struggling with just your relationship with God. Maybe you're struggling with a little bit of stress or depression or whatever. But if you'll just take some time and give that time to God over those 4 days, I believe God's going to do something absolutely amazing in your life. I just think you have to come with an expectant heart. And I know I have one more announcement, but I just can't remember. Do you remember? Brain. Oh, yeah, this weekend. So today's Palm Sunday, and we're going to have a great day today. But next Friday is Good Friday, and we get to worship the Lord, get to be together. We're going to come together on Friday morning for a short service, have some time just to remember the day that Jesus died, the day that everything changed, everything from that time that built up to that moment. And everything since then has changed because Jesus gave his life on the cross. We're going to be looking at that on Friday, having a cafe time afterwards. So spend some time, set aside some time. We're going to have, you know, like the nice, you know, fresh baking and, you know, good food and cool stuff like that. Saturday, we have an Easter egg hunt for the community, for our own kids, for teenagers. I think we have some too. And also we're doing a yard sale. Just as an opportunity to get rid of some of our old stuff, but mostly just to have people come into our building, have a look around, have the community here. Done a bunch of mailings out to the immediate community for them to come and see the building. So we're also going to do have a cafe and building tour and stuff that day. So we I don't know if we have enough volunteers, so I'll just say this. If you want to volunteer, stop by guest services, and we'll make sure we can probably use some extra hands, even through the week this week, getting things set up. So if you have time, do that. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. It's the day we celebrate the risen Christ, that Jesus not only rose that day from the grave, but he arose in our hearts and changed everything for us. It's the day life changed. Next week Sunday, because it is Easter Sunday and there's a lot of family stuff going on, we're not going to have a cafe next Sunday. We're just going to close the service, and everybody's got to get out of the building, go home. And then we're going to go spend some time with our families, and just, it's going to be a great weekend. So set yourself up for that. Anyway, thanks. I'm pretty happy with this wife God gave me. I'm pretty thrilled that I get to do life with her. There, we got it sorted out. Ooh, hot now. I just was thinking today, always think about this. Anyway, let me just do this. Thriving Family, it's a magazine put out by Focus on the Family. It's amazing. It's really, really good. I have a stack of them up here. First come, first serve. After that, you're on your own. Get it? It talks about everything from money to sex to family to everything. Everything you need to know and more. So men and women. Oh, look, we got an eager one here. It's good. So, you know what, if we'll approach God with that kind of attitude, I'm coming to get what you got for me, God will do some amazing things in our life. Seriously, I think about Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday was a pretty amazing day. Jesus came into Jerusalem as the victorious king. They were throwing palm branches and stuff down on the road in front of him, declaring him as king. Here's the really odd thing. The people that had studied the scriptures, that had looked for him, had searched for him, had waited for him, sat in the synagogue and wondered what was all the noise going by on the street. They had searched for him their whole life. Many had given themselves to the whole study of the Messiah and when he would come and what he would do in their life and what he'd do for Israel, and they missed it. And this Palm Sunday, I really don't want us to miss it. Because God is at work. God wants to touch our lives. God wants to move in our hearts and our lives. And we have to be awake and alive to that. We can't be just in our with our head down. We got to face life with our heads up, looking for where Jesus is at work. There's so many times you see God move in different ways through the years. And so many times the generation that headed up the last move of God misses the next move of God that they were waiting for because they don't recognize it for what it is. And this morning, I just want us to stop for a moment. We're going to pray. and ask God to show us what He wants to say to us today by the power of His Spirit. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, this morning we recognize Your work in our life. Lord, that You are left as the comforter for us, the one that would guide us in all truth, the one that would comfort us, that would convict us of sin, teach us of righteousness, and be there with us. So Holy Spirit, this morning we recognize Your work. We say this morning our hearts are open. Our minds are ready. We stand, Lord, with a posture of expectancy, and we ask You to speak to us because we know, Lord, that You have something You want to say to us today, to Your people. So we just ask You to speak. And Lord, we will listen. We'll have a heart that's open to You. Speak to us today through Your word, we pray. Amen. So, before I forget, we're always just working at tuning and tweaking things around here, making things better. So, after the service, for those of you who need prayer, if you need prayer for, you know, agreement for your finances, if you need prayer for healing, because God is our healer, God is healer, God is peace. If you need prayer for anything, directly after the service, if you go to the prayer room, there will be pastors there to help you and pray with you. So that's available to you right after the service. I think it's really important that I believe in James, it talks about how, you know, if there's any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church. And I'm a big proponent of that. I believe that the act of faith of calling for the elders is what is actually the faith that moves God and touches your body. So we're going to ask you, if you need prayer for anything, take a step of faith after the service, walk down to the prayer room and ask for prayer. There will be someone there waiting to pray with you. Just go in there. Going quietly, if you're in there and you're waiting, don't talk to the people around you. Just get yourself in an attitude of prayer and just expect God will do great things. Yeah, it's the third door. It's the door right beside the water cooler. It's a prayer room right across it. So in case you don't know where it is, we meet there, by the way, every morning from 9 till 9:30 to pray. It's really 9:15, but that really doesn't hardly get you time to say hi. So come at 9 instead, and then you can have some time to actually pray. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. It's a great day. I love this church. I love being part of it. I love what God's doing in me. I'm really in a time right now in my life where I just feel a whole sense of renewal. I feel like God's at work in a huge way. And I believe it's not just for me. It's for all of us. God wants to do something in our lives that will blow our minds. He wants to touch us. He wants to change us. He wants to bring us from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. If you're settled where you are for too long, it just becomes a routine. And God never meant it for us to be in a routine. He meant us to be growing and moving forward in Him. So He wants us for that. I'm expecting God to do something really amazing in our lives this morning. Expectation moves the heart of God. It does. When we just come and say, let's see what happens. You know, like, whatever. Going to church again. Do the deal. Go home. Whatever. See ya. I'm out of here. Then, you know what? It doesn't move the heart of God. It doesn't. It's when our hearts come in expectancy to meet with God. I mean, if I come home, and I do a lot of times, to Christine, and it's been a long day, and I'm tired, and I just, how you doing? Whatever. See ya. You know, it's just like, blah. When I approach Christine in that way, it really is not very relational, and it really doesn't bring us closer together. But when I come to the door, and sometimes I come to the door, and she's waiting at the door, and she gives me a big hug and a kiss, and how was your day? And I'm like, woo, yeah, this is good, you know? It's good. I was glad when they said to me, let's go home, you know? But how we approach, it really does change things. So as we approach God, as we come to church on a Sunday morning, or if we gather together in a small group, or if we, wherever we are going, when we sit down at our table or in our chair and we open our word and we say, I just got to do my deed today. I'm just going to flip a few pages and see what happens. No, if we approach that with expectancy that God will speak, He does. One thing I know is I read the book Experiencing God, and I realized from that book that God is always at work. It's just so many times we are blind to to what he's doing. We just need to open our eyes and expect God to do something in us. So are you expecting to receive from the Lord this morning?
Yes.
I already did in a big way through the worship. Again, we said thanks to the First Impressions team, but thanks to the worship team. You guys are amazing. I'm just so thankful that we have you. It's really amazing. I'm so thankful to see so many young people involved in our worship, but in every part of our church. Just look across the sanctuary, and like there's a ton of young people here. We're just so thankful for you, and we welcome you with a big open heart. And just pray that God just keeps working in you. So I'm really excited about the series we're in. I had a whole different picture of it when I sort of laid it out for the year. So we're talking about, the series is called Sink My Life. It's not like go out in the middle of the lake and sink my life. Although sometimes we might feel like doing that, but it's talking about sinking your life. So everybody that has an iPod knows what it means to sink. You plug it in, connects to the computer, goes back and forth, and it makes it the same. Well, we need to sink our life with God. We need to get in God's space for our life and connect with him. I was thinking, we were here 2 weeks ago. We had the guy in for the sound. By the way, this should all be done this week. Pray. This will be a great miracle. It'll be like raising somebody from the dead if we actually finish this. It'll be cool. But he was in here to set up the speakers digitally in this room. And he had like computer out. He had microphones all over the room. And you could hear the sound change and get better and better as he went through the room and around the room. And all of a sudden, when he was done, it was like, wow, this is amazing. This room got synced. And that's what God wants to do in our life. So we've been looking at the life of David. And we looked at how David was a man after God's own heart. David was this guy who was so connected to God that he wrote all these books called the Psalms. He wrote like the greatest poetry ever written. And he just expresses so many times, if we read through the Psalms, it just expresses our heart. It was like he was every man or every woman, and he knew how to express exactly what was coming from our own hearts toward God. And he had this all in a really good way. But he allowed an attitude of apathy to enter his life to the point that one day when he should have been off doing war, it was the springtime when kings go to war, David was instead having a nap. And David took this big turn away from God. He took this big turn and started just living a life of sin. Those of us that were here, we know we read the story about how he committed adultery. He committed murder, and then he got busted by the prophet Nathan, and Nathan said, you know, this is wrong, what you've done, and David says, you know what, I'm wrong. And he went through this whole prayer in Psalm 51, where he just repents to God. We talked about how he said, you know, like, God, against you, and you only have I sinned. So many times we could feel comfortable, I could feel comfortable maybe not forgiving Tom for something he did to me, because he's just Tom, we're friends, I can get away with it, but, you know, maybe I could just, you know, do that. But when I don't forgive Tom, I'm not sinning against Tom. I'm sinning against God. And that's the thing we have to understand. When we sin against God, not against a person. So anyway, David repents, but David doesn't leave it at repentance. David actually wants to get his life back in tune and in step with God. This is what he says in Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. That's amazing, because that's the end result of a life synced with God. Then we could teach sinners his ways, and lead them to him. Ultimately, Jesus came, he said, not for the well, not for the people that had it all together. He came for those that were sick, those of us that were messed up. He came for me. I thank God that he came for me. I'm a person that does not have it all together. We've been just doing some reorganizing with our lawn equipment this week and selling tractors, buying stuff, and we bought this little John Deere front mount mower, and it's got a hydrostat that you run with your foot. And I was messing around with it, got it out of the garage, took it for a little spin around the parking lot trying to get a feel for it. And I was putting it back in the garage, and I'm backing it up really slowly, trying not to hit anything, but I'm getting really close to the back wall. I got a little skittish and got nervous, so I slammed on what I thought should be the brake. Instead, it was the forward pedal, and a bang into the wall in front of me. I'm a mistake waiting to happen. I need Jesus. Jesus came for people like me and for people like you. He wants to be with us. He wants to connect with us. And because Jesus came for sinners, he wants us to sink our lives so that we can reach people that don't know him yet. I've said quite a lot lately, I really believe there's a calling in the heart of God to us to reconnect with him in a loving, meaningful relationship that happens every day. That's not just a Sunday thing or not just a when I'm in the mood thing, but that we just lovingly connect to God in a deep and intimate way, a devoted relationship. That we would love the things that he loves and that we would hate the things that he hates. That we would love the things that he loves and that we would hate the things that he hates. That we would love the things that he loves and that we would hate the things that he hates. That our hearts would be broken with the things that break his heart. That when we realize that every day we walk by tons of people that don't know Jesus and are going to hell, that breaks the heart of God, and it should break our heart. And so when we come into this relationship with God, God starts speaking to us and moving us and filling us with his compassion and his love. So I asked this last week when we were talking about David, you know, saying, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. And I said, how often that we actually say, Holy Spirit, just be close to me, work in me, touch me, stay close, beg, really maybe even beg him, implore him to be a part of our everyday life. Have you done that this week? Have you just asked the Holy Spirit to move in your life and really touch you and change you and draw you into that place with him? We talked about that last week, and I think it's a really good idea. And I think, like, you know, if we just hear it on Sunday and we leave and don't do anything about it, kind of a waste of time sitting here. But I really believe that if we would just ask the Holy Spirit to be involved in our life and be part of our life every day, he would love to do that. Have you had a chance this week to just quiet your heart before the Lord and just have him speak to you? And have sort of that deep calling on deep kind of experience that God is speaking to you and you're speaking back to him. And I was having that on the way here today. Just praying and asking God for the service this morning that people's hearts would be touched. Praying for the churches around as I drove by. I just said to God, you know, I just, whatever it takes, if I got to become a fool for you, if I have to look foolish to the people around me, whatever it takes, God, I just want to be that for you. I just felt the presence of the Lord fill the car. Well, we get to experience this all the time, but have you taken the time this week to experience the presence of God in your life? Because it's what Christianity is about, relationship with God. Are you really hungry to experience his power, or are you just, you know, satisfied with life as it is? I think when we become satisfied, we settle. My prayer is that each one of us would desire more of God than we're right now experiencing. And that's what this series is really all about, experiencing God in our lives. So, you know what? I feel like I have to say some things, and I'm asking some tougher questions, and I'm probably going to say some things maybe that you'll just say, like, Ralph, just shut up. I don't want to hear it anymore. I just want to challenge you. So if you get ticked off at me, that's cool. I'm fine with that because I really want to just compel you and drive you toward a relationship with God. So this week, like I said, we went to a OBFF conference. Levi and I were driving up and just having, you know, good old conversation. It's fun. I've been dreaming about this day for a long time, being able to take my kids with me to a conference, for them to get it, be able to communicate back and forth. But anyway, we're on our way up there. We're talking, and we start talking. Somehow we got on the subject of the second coming of Jesus. And don't know how we got there, but we got there. And he just started expressing what every young person expresses, that, you know what, I really hope Jesus doesn't come back until I've had a chance to sort of live my life and see what it's all about. I want to sort of go beyond this part and just see how my life plays out. And I think that a lot of us have felt that way at one time or another. I went through the whole, you know, 88 reasons why Jesus will come back in 1988, you know, did all the repenting, praying, asking God so I could go to heaven with him and not have to go through the tribulation. And somebody asked me at that time, how do you feel about that? If Jesus were really to come back, would you be okay with it? I'm like, you know what? I'm fine with it. Because I realize that this life isn't all there is, although this life is good. It's not everything. So anyway, we talked about it. I was just thinking about how many times we just think this world and what we experience now is really what it's all about. That we think that this life we're living right now is what it's all about, but it's not what it's all about. Not at all. Life is like a vapor. And nothing, absolutely nothing compared to the life that's to come. I was reading in Titus this morning, and Titus was saying that that the way to get faith and knowledge is to look forward to toward heaven. That it's that our look toward heaven is what produced faith and knowledge in us. I think it was faith and knowledge. It was faith, anyway. It was early morning, so I'm not that good in the morning. Anyways, but this life is a vapor. What God has prepared for us is so much greater than this life. This is what C.S. Lewis had to say. I love C.S. Lewis. I think he's an amazing writer. excuse me. It says this. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and lust, and ambition. We're fooling around with things that taste good. We're fooling around with things that feel good. And we think we're fooling around with things that would make us look good when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to keep on making mud pies in the slums because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a vacation at the beach. If I really wanted to be happy, I would seek God. Oh, but God is abstract. It takes effort to reach God, so I settle. I settle for weak amusements that require no effort. What a lazy fool I am. That's what this life is like. And we search after riches, we search after fun, we search after all these things, and really, it's like making mud pies in the slums when we could be making sandcastles on the beach. I think that as Christians, we've let our feet sink too far into the soil of this earth. We've made this place our home when it isn't our home. The Bible says that we're strangers and aliens in a foreign land. And God is calling us toward home, but while we're here, to gather as many as we can to go with us. We think that this is it, that this is the real thing, when it's really just a poor reflection of what God really has for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, 13, verse 12, sorry, Paul says, we look now through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we see in part, but then we will see fully. We need to remember, this isn't what life is about. Excuse me. We get so busy running around in our daily lives, doing so many things that have absolutely no eternal significance. We run around doing so many things that have no eternal significance, and when it comes to doing the things that are eternal, many times we find ourselves without time, or for sure without energy to pursue the eternal things. We're called to live in this world and be wise in this world and to be an example in this world. But when this world becomes everything we're about, there's something horribly wrong and horribly sad about that. The next thing we're going to have to do to get in order if we're going to get our life in sync is we need to get our priorities right. It's going to take me a couple weeks to get through this. But priorities are a huge deal. Over the past while, as I said, I've been feeling this urgency in my life to get things in order, to set things right. you know, as much as I am a pastor and as much as I am, you know, a spiritual leader in the church and in the community, there's things that you will let go and things that you don't put enough effort, enough priority on, and life slides on you. And God has really been calling me to sort that out over the past while. And I believe He's also calling me to implore you, to beg you, really, to think about this too. To think about getting things in order, getting priorities right. I don't know why. I don't know why the call of God is so strong in my heart right now. I don't think it's because Jesus might come back tomorrow, but He might. But I just believe that God's calling us to something. He's calling us, and we need to respond to Him. So, I've been having this whole quote that I just read banging around in my head for about the last month. And it's just going to read it again. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and lust and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to keep on making mud pies in the slums because he cannot imagine what is being offered, or can't imagine what is meant by the offer of a vacation at the beach. If I really wanted to be happy, I would seek God. Oh, but God is abstract. It takes effort to reach God, so I settle. I settle for weak amusement that require no effort. What a lazy fool I am. My question is, how many of us does that resonate with? And this is not just a warm, fuzzy moment in church. This is God speaking to our hearts and saying, come up. Come up. I think about the last battle. C.S. Lewis wrote it, and the call in the book was further up and further in. Further up and further in. And he was calling. God was calling all the time. And I remember there was a scene where they were just entering really what was shown as heaven in this book. And there was these dwarves, and they were sitting at the verge of what God had promised. They were sitting in a little circle when everybody else saw flowers and beauty and God's green, big blue sky. All they saw and smelled was horse manure. And they were sitting around in a circle going, the dwarves are for the dwarves. The dwarves are for the dwarves. And they were so focused on themselves. And God wants us to look outward. God wants us to live in a bigger world than we live in. He's calling us up higher and farther in. I think in a lot of ways we've exchanged the truth of God for a lie, as Paul said in Romans 12, where he said, they worship the created thing rather than the creator. I know we don't mean to. I know that we just sort of get lulled into it, but we have to remember who we live for and whose we are. I think we've settled for making mud pies in the ghetto instead of sandcastles on the beach. I think we've settled a lot. I think that we live in the shadowlands of what God has really called us to. We think we've got it all together. We think if I could just do this or have that or be this, that it would be everything I need. But I just think that God, whenever we feel that, it strips it bare and shows it for what it really is. We're catching just a slight glimpse of the glory and the power that God actually has for us. And that's sad. Because He's said that He would promise us life and a life more abundantly. And I don't know a lot of people that are living in that. And when I have to ask why, I don't think it's because of God. I think we've settled for chasing lust and ambition and drink. And God's calling us to seek Him and to search for Him. I think the call of God to His people today is to come closer to Him. James 4, verse 7 to 10, it says, therefore, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The whole right side, left side. Live in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, in order to live in the Spirit, we've got to resist the devil. The Bible promises if we resist him, he'll flee. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners. purify your hearts, double-minded ones. James is not writing to the world here. This is an epistle to the church. This is to God's people he's writing. Cleanse your hands, your sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Be humble before the Lord, and he will lift you up. I think sometimes we forget that God is a loving and wonderful and beautiful God who wraps us in his arms and wraps us in his arms and wraps us in his arms. But he's also a God of justice. He's a God of amazing power and might. He's the warrior. The Bible says when John saw Jesus in Revelation as the warrior, it says he fell down to his face as dead. That God, as much as he loves us, there is still a reverential fear, a reverential respect that we need to have for God. It's not like, hey, bud, let's hang out. This is wrong. I'm sorry. I just find that kind of idea. Like, I want my son to love me. I want to hang out with him. I want him to connect with me. I want both of my boys to feel like this is the safest place in the world. But I also want them to know that I'm the one who watches out for their soul, that I'm caring for them, I'm watching for them, and I'm going to correct them and discipline them, and that they could be connected to me, but I'm not their bud. I'm their dad. I'm their father who has ultimately responsibility for their life when they're growing up, and ultimately I'm the one who's got to guide them and direct them. As parents, Christine and I, we have to do this. There has to be a love and a passion, a care for each other, but also this respect. You know, like my son Logan called me Ralph, and Levi's tried calling me Ralph before, and I give him the look. Like, you know, like they just try and be funny once in a while. And I'm like, it goes against my upbringing. But it just goes against my whole sense of respect. You know, and I think it's with God. We have to realize that God has the ability to fry us on sight. He does. He could wipe out the whole world like that. But he chose instead to love us. He chose to care for us. He's our Father. He loves us immensely. But we need to have an awe and a respect for him. We need to feel some kind of a stirring in our heart when we get to spend time with him. It should be special for us. Anyway, so it says, let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Cleanse your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts. You know, the whole idea, mourn, weep. It's like not, it's foreign to us. But God's calling us to this. This is James talking to the church. If we've allowed ourselves to get in that spot where we're chasing the amusements of the world and not really connecting with God, if we're building mud pies in the slums instead of sandcastles on the beach, we need to get our hearts into a place with God again, a respect, a love, an honor, and a reverence for our God. If we're going to put our priorities in order, we need to understand our life that we now live is in Christ. That we are dead, the Bible says, our life is hidden with Christ in God. We need to get that. We're no longer alive as the person we used to be. Instead, that old person is dead, and the new life and identity that we have is wrapped up in who we are in Jesus. In Colossians 3, verse 1 and on, it says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along eyes to the ground, absorbed with things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. We read a scripture a couple weeks ago. In him we live and move and have our being. Jesus is our source of life. Without him, we don't have anything anymore. We died to our old self. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. understanding that who we are is all wrapped up in God now is really important toward living a life in sync with God. Everything that we are to be as Christians flows out of a relationship with God. It's really important for us to understand this. Understanding that you are now dead to this world, and that this world is now dead to you, is really the tipping point that we need to come to. It's the cliff we need to throw ourselves off of. If we're really going to live life the way it was intended, and the way that would really show God's glory to the earth, we need to realize this. This is what it says in Galatians 6:14 from the Contemporary English Version. It says, "But I will never brag about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Because remember, when Jesus died on the cross and we accepted the gift that he gave us on the cross, our old life ended there. Our memories, maybe they're still there, but we need to cut it off at the cross. Everything before that, everything we accomplished before that, everything we did wrong before that, everything before that, is not us anymore. We're a new creature. So if I have anything now to boast in, it's in the cross of Jesus, because everything I am now is because of Jesus and who he is in my life. Everything that I am today, everything I will ever be in the future is based in Jesus. To come to the point, Galatians 6, verse 14. Again, let me finish. I just got carried away in the middle. I never brag about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his cross, the world is dead as far as I'm concerned, and I am dead as far as the world is concerned. That the old me no longer exists. And the hold that the world had on me, it no longer has, as long as I stay based and centered in the cross of Jesus. To come to the point in our lives where Jesus Christ and the work of his Spirit in us is what we desire more than anything this world has to offer, is to come to the place where we can really live life to the fullest. We can live life the way God intended for us to live it. So that's my introduction. We'll carry on now. We need to get our priorities right. So I'm going to start talking about priorities this morning. And we're going to carry on next time. But again, the whole thing about priorities is not going to work until you get your life centered in Christ, in God. And until you get a relationship with God right, until you get that right, nothing else is going to work. Because it's not about doing the works. It's not about getting everything right. It's about being with God and allowing his work in you to flow out of you in good works. Paul said, you know, it's not about works, lest anyone should boast. Our salvation is not about works. But he said, show me your faith and I'll show you my works. Because there's a works that flows out of love. Because I love Christine, there's things I do because I love her. Because it just flows out of my heart toward her. I'm faithful to her. I care about her. I want the best for her. It's all flowing out of a heart of love toward her. I do dishes once in a while because I love her. I'll vacuum once in a while. I'll build a deck for her. I'll do whatever because I love her. It flows out of a heart of love. If I do it just because she told me I better do it and I feel guilty because I haven't, it's not the way God really intended for us to live. So if we're going to get our priorities right, the first thing we have to do is, and the first on all of our list, it should be God. God should be first. First in our time, first in our heart, first in our money, first in our how we act, first in how we live. A lot of times we say we love God, but we don't give him any time. I'm amazed how many Christians say I love God and don't spend time with him. We need to spend time. We need to take God's word, open it up, read it, find out about who he is, talk to him about it, ask some other Christians about it, talk, converse, and grow. It's what happens. It's how we build relationships with each other. It's how we got to build relationship with God. I'm amazed how many Christians say God's first in my life, but they don't give. They don't tithe. They don't do what God requires and asks them to do to show, like, you know what? You're first in my life. We say we love God, but we get our things messed up, and we just need to start putting our ducks. God's got to be first, number one. So what does it actually mean to put God first? If God is first in our lives, what should that look like? How can we do it? I know that many times, as we're influenced a lot by Greek thinking, we make lists. God's number one, family's number two, and then after that, it kind of all gets kind of, I don't know where it all belongs, but it should be in this list, and blah, and then we're like, well, God's supposed to be first, and family, and I only spent, 10 minutes with God this week, so, and we get all messed up, because we think of everything in lists. The Hebrew thinking and way of thinking about God and relationship with God and priorities with God was circular. It was a wheel. And I'm not going to talk about that today, but if you start thinking about a wheel this week, and we're not going to talk about this next week, but the week after, you start thinking about a wheel, there's a lot of cool things that we can learn from a wheel about our relationship with God. If God is the center, everything flows out of that, right? All the spokes move away from that. When you see the spokes aren't built to hold up the wheel on the outside. It actually pulls in the wheel toward the center, which is God. If one part of the wheel gets too much pressure on it, it breaks. But everything is flowing from God and to God. And that's how our relationships would be. So that's how come it's so important for us when we see it the way the Hebrews saw it. It's so important for us to keep God first. Because then it's not God first and then family and then this and then that. It's God is the center of our lives. And then God in our family, and God in our work, and God in our time, and God in our recreation, God in. And whenever anything gets out of line and we start doing too much at one thing, you ever have a tire out of balance on your car? The whole car, like that, right? It shakes, it rattles, and everything starts coming apart, right? Because it's out of balance. So God made it that way so we would know. The other cool thing, I'm giving away a lot of my message, but we'll go into it more. But if you take a wheel and grab it by the spokes, the end of the nuts like this, the bolt that goes through, and then you spin the wheel, and you try and turn it, it's really hard to turn. Really, really hard to turn. It wants to go straight. When our life is centered in God and God is in the center of it, we want to go straight. But if we take a wheel and throw it, it'll go straight for a while and then it'll be like, right? There's so much about it. So understanding that, we need to get right with God. We need to get our relationship right with God. But first, we need to get God first. Here's the thing. We keep trying to do the deeds or keep the priorities without having our relationship with God in a place of health and intimacy is pretty near impossible. I can guarantee you that everybody here has tried. I think everybody's tried. Get the work right, and hopefully it'll all come together. We got it backwards. This is what Paul said in Galatians chapter 3. You crazy Canadians. Did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened, for it's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus in clear focus in your life. His sacrifice on the cross was certainly set before you clearly enough. Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God, or was it by responding to the message, God's message to you? Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think that they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Did you go through the whole painful learning process for nothing? It is not yet a total loss, but it certainly will be if you keep this up. Answer this question. Does the God who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit, working things in your life you can never do for yourself. Does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust him to do them in you? Don't these things happen among you just as they happened with Abraham? He believed God, and that act of belief was turned into a life that was right with God. It's not obvious, is it not obvious to you that the person who put their trust in Christ, not persons who put their trust in the law, are like Abraham, children of faith? I just want you to understand this about that scripture. Is the whole deal about salvation was about God putting our lives straight. It was us connecting with God, being a place with God, and saying yes to God, and He put our lives straight. And He's saying, you're crazy if you think that you could get it straight now unless you just keep that relationship with God strong. You keep that connection with God in place. If you start now trying to do it the way you always did it before, then it's still not going to work. You need to do it with God as the center of your life. It's important for us to realize and understand that everything about our Christian walk and witness starts with our connection to God and the Holy Spirit's work in our life and flows out of that relationship with Him. We cannot live the Christian life, period, if we do not keep the fires of passion for His work in our lives burning strong. Leviticus 6, it talks about, it's about the burnt offering, but it's amazing. Three times in that chapter, it's odd that God repeats Himself three times in one chapter, but it says, the fire must never go out. The fire on the altar must always be kept burning. Three times, the fire must never go out. The fire on the altar must always be kept burning. And in our life, it's the same. The fire must never go out. The fire must always be kept burning. It's important for us to stay passionate in our relationship with God. We could try to do the good things that would make it look like God is at work in our lives, but it will have no meaning unless it flows out of a love and passion for God. I'd love to have palm trees in my front yard, and I've got, you know, a couple maple trees that are bare right now, and I could glue some palm leaves onto them. But sooner or later, the real fruit of that tree is going to come out, and it's going to look really stupid when all the maple leaves are out and there's still palm leaves glued to it. But a lot of times we live our Christian life that way. We glue on the good works, and we're still living in a life separated from God, and we start showing all the fruit, and then it gets confusing for people, where if we would just allow our life to flow out of God, the leaves and the stuff that's produced by our life will be in relationship to God, and people will be able to see God's glory through us. Does that make sense to you? We need to live our lives centered in God. Jesus really talked about this when He talked to the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, verse 16 to 22. Another day, a man stopped Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, why do you question me about what's good? God is the one who is good. If you want to enter the life of God, just do what He tells you." The man asked, "What in particular?" Jesus said, "Well, don't murder. Don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said, "I've done all that. What's left?" Well, Jesus said, "If you want to give it all you've got, go sell your possessions, give everything to the poor, all your wealth will be there in heaven, will then be in heaven, then come follow me." That was the last thing the young man expected to hear, and so crestfallen, he walked away. He was holding on tight to a lot of things, and he couldn't bear to let it go. God is not asking for part of us. God is not asking for a little tiny piece of us. God wants all of us. God wants all of us. That's what He was saying to this young man. You could do all the works, you could do all the deeds, but what I really, really want is your heart. What I really want to get to the heart of here is where do you find your treasure? Because the Bible says wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Where is your treasure really? Is it in doing the good works? Is it doing the good deeds? Or is it really in a relationship with God? I'm standing up here as a man that definitely does not have it all together. I'm a fellow pilgrim with all of you. And I'm seeking God, and I'm not satisfied with life as it is. I want to experience God more and more. All the time. I want to experience His love in me. I want to experience His power in me. I want to teach transgressors his ways and lead people to Jesus. That's really my heart. That's what I want to do. But I realize more and more as I'm spending time with God and in his presence that the only way that can happen is when he has all of me. I was saying to Christine on Monday, there's a few frustrating things going on in my life, and I said, you know what, I've given God everything. I don't know what else I can give him. I've given him my life. I serve him. I give him my time. I've given him my family. I've given him everything I know how to give him. And just that night, we were at our life group, and the guy on the screen was talking about, you know, that one day he realized that he hadn't given God his expectations. And that he had all this stress and all this trouble and all this stuff, but he had, you know, God's heart and mind, but he had it on his terms. And he wrote down all his expectations and gave them to Jesus. Well, that spoke to me. So I said, well, there's something I haven't given. I want to give it to you, Jesus. I want to give it to you. Because I want your life to flow through me. I don't want to be like those guys that were in the temple on Palm Sunday that missed Jesus while he was going out in the street. And I don't want you to either. I want us to serve God with happy and full hearts. And I want to bring glory to him and our community so that our community can know the Jesus that loves them and cares about them. And if it's getting old to hear me say that, I can't help it. It's what I live for. If you don't want to hear me talking about winning lost people to Jesus, you're in the wrong church. Because I just can't get it out of my heart. I've asked God to break my heart with the things that breaks his heart. And this is what he's doing in me. So I'm just asking you all today as we have the band play a song. If you're here this morning and you've never given your heart to Jesus, if you never said, you know, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior, and I want you to come in and do this work in my heart, take my sin away and connect me with God the Father, give me a life in heaven with you, then this morning all you got to do is just open your mouth and say, Jesus, I love you. I repent of the life I've lived. I ask you to come into my heart and change my life. If you, like me, have sort of, you know, followed God with an eager and willing heart, but you just feel like there's just a calling in your heart that you want more, we're gonna worship God this morning. We're gonna sing. Maybe you don't want to sing. Maybe you just want to pray and spend some time. But do that. Let's just take a few moments just to focus. Ask God, you know, if something hit you this morning, if you're saying, like, you know what, I'm that guy. I'm the one who's sitting in the slums building mud pies. I'm following, like, drink and lust and ambition. It's me. It's what God is. Man, that wrong heart in my heart. This morning, let's just talk to God about it. Let's say, God, I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to love you, and then start putting some good practices, some good habits into place to stay connected to God. If you're here and you're so far away from God and you once knew him, or maybe you know you're on your way, I'm just asking you today, come to Jesus. Draw near to God, because if you do, he's going to change your life, change mine. I promise you, he'll change your life. So why don't we just stand? If you want to come to the altar and pray, if you want to pray and you see, if you just want to sing, do that. Do me this favor, though. If you give your heart to Jesus this morning for the first time, please make your way down the hall, go into the prayer room, and talk to one of our pastors. They want to share with you for a few minutes, pray with you, and rejoice with you. So let's all stand and let's or sit, whatever. Just do it. It's in your heart. If you want to come to the front, kneel down, whatever you want to do, just do that. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you that you're our God, that we're your people. Lord, I just pray as we leave this place, Lord, that some of the things that we've settled in our hearts this morning, Lord, that we will actually do that, that we would pursue a life with you, that we would love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Lord, just pray that as we leave this place, Lord, we thank you that you'll be with us, Lord, and that we will show your glory, show your presence, show your goodness to the world around us. And pray this in Jesus' name, the name that's above every name, Jesus' name. Amen.